You're listening to Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Ira Flatow. This week, a team of researchers confirmed for the first time with conclusive evidence that a mother can pass cancer to her baby in the womb. It's an unfortunate family story. The mother eventually died from the cancer, but an extremely rare occurrence. The first reported case of a mother passing cancer to her baby was way back in 1866. And since then, there have been fewer than two dozen suspected cases, all based on circumstantial evidence. And now, for the first time, we have genetic proof that such a thing is possible, but probably not something any mothers out there who are pregnant should be worrying about. So what can medical researchers learn from a fluke case like this? My next guest is one of the authors on the research paper in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences this week, Dr. Tony Ford, senior scientist on the childhood leukemia team at the Institute of Cancer Research in London. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Ford.
Thank you very much for the invitation. It's a pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you. How did all this get started? How was it discovered, this case?
Well, this case was started when an 11-month-old girl was admitted to a clinic in Japan with a large tumor on her cheek. And initially, the clinicians there thought that this was going to be a solid sarcoma that often occurs in young children. And it turned out that when she was being biopsied, the father said that just a few months earlier, his wife had died from leukemia. And initially, the guys in Japan thought that this would be maybe a cancer-prone family, which does happen from time to time. But after they had done a biopsy on the cheek, they realized that it wasn't a solid sarcoma. It was, in fact, a lymphoma. And then the guys, of course, thought that this could well be a secondary sort of tumor that may have arisen from the mother's cancer, which was very similar.
Right.
And in our lab in London, we have a sort of a long-standing reputation for looking at the in utero origins of leukemia, and so they approached us to try and sort of tie up the loose ends and see whether this was the passage of a leukemia clone from the mother to the baby through the placenta, and that's where we came into the story.
And you confirmed that.
Yes, yeah. In our work, we've been able to show that the initiating event in these leukemias is a chromosome translocation where two chromosomes break apart and then fuse together. So in this case, it was chromosome 9 that was broken and fused to chromosome 22 in the mother. So that gives us a good marker for following these events. And we've been able to show in previous work that each patient with leukemia has a patient-specific break and fusion, so we can always tell whether it's a sort of a single clone or not. And by a first analysis, we could show that the cancer cell in the mum's leukemia was identical,
right,
at least at the initial stages, to that we found in the child.
Now, everybody, every mother, pregnant mother, woman who's is going to worry about this.
Undoubtedly, yeah, that's been something we thought of at the time, that this may be some sort of common transition. As you said in your introduction, it's very rare. We've only had a few 10, 20 or 30 cases in over 100 years, and that was our first thought, that this might well tell us that these events could be more common. But that the story that we've been able to confirm from this baby was that there was an extra step that meant this is exactly a rare occurrence. And the way that was done was that a lot of these leukemias have a chromosome translocation as a starting event, if you like, but that's not enough to give you leukemia, and there are often or usually secondary losses of gene or DNA material. And in this case, the region of DNA that was lost in the mother's cancer cells was the histocompatibility locus. And I'm sure your listeners will know that this is the region that is used in bone marrow transplants, that when you have a donor to recipient, that those matches have to be identical, otherwise the immune system will reject the donor cells. And this is what normally happens. We think that maybe cells do get across from mum to baby quite a lot, but those cells are always seen as foreign or non-self in the baby, and they're killed or destroyed by the baby's own immune system. And what we've been able to show molecularly in this case is that the HLA genes that were passed on to the child were in the mother's cancer cells, but the cells in their growth and proliferation had actually deleted those HLA markers, if you like.
So the baby didn't recognize it as being foreign.
Exactly, as you say, the baby didn't recognize it as being foreign, and it was able to get up into the cheek where the lymph nodes are and sit there and just gradually reproduce and build up into a lymphoma.
And as you say, a very rare case, and that mothers should not be concerned mostly about.
Absolutely not. I think, you know, maybe cells do get across the placenta every now and again, but in 99.9% of cases that the baby's immune system can deal with them, whether they're normal cells or whether they're cancer cells. I think scientifically this is a very interesting case, but I think there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
I think it tells us that the immune system is very good at coping with these sort of events normally. It's just that this very rare cell had lost or deleted the genes that are used to identify these foreign cells.
Mm-hmm. Would it be a way to combat cancer
That's what we're sort of thinking about. Yeah, obviously the immune system is a very powerful system in defense of growth of foreign cells, and we have to try and think of ways that we can sort of, in the future, look and see how we can exploit the immune system to prevent leukemias, at least, and other cancers. Melanoma, for example, is another very invasive cancer that's been shown to be able to be passed, at least theoretically, from mother to fetus. And these sort of cancers are those that we can look at and try and find some sort of immune response and how we can tweak that and prevent this sort of happening in the majority of cases.
Well, I'm thinking even in cancers of people who are not pregnant or just have some sort of tumor.
Well, no, exactly,
The body to think that it's a foreign object.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then have its immune system attack.
If we can find some sort of marker, whether it be leukemia or melanoma or whatever, if we can find some sort of cancer gene that is expressed on the surface of these cells that the immune system can recognize, then, theoretically it should be destroyed.
And so where do you go from here? Any further line of research following this?
Well, as regards the child, she's healthy and she's in remission. She's doing very well, and we're really pleased about that. And we're constantly monitoring her to see whether these cells are still there. We can't detect them at the moment. But we're trying to think of ways now, as you've suggested, where we can exploit those findings and try and think of ways that we can stop or at least help the immune system, encourage the immune system to kill these cells in other cancers.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Ford, I want to thank you for taking time to be with us.
You are very welcome.
Thank you
very much.
Staying up late for us. You're welcome. Dr. Tony Ford is a senior scientist on the Childhood Leukemia Team at the Institute of Cancer Research in London, England.